B-Pod Studios.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's a Homer show. We are overwhelmingly positive. Bunch of honks.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Very, very positive sports show.
98.5.
Guilty as charged.
The Sports Hub.
Turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey do and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey then.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Beetle in the basement. Everyone else in the studio. Bert, you smoking a turkey this year? That's a big thing I know that you do.
I am. I like your COVID shelter, too, there.
What's that?
I like your COVID shelter there, too. It's very, very... You did a nice job decorating the place.
It looks like he's going up in what Elon Musk's rockets. Doesn't he look like he's going up in one of them rockets?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if he's kind of like, floated away. Like it'd be, yep. Yeah, it'd be like he'd be in outer space. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, the turkey is on
there. There you go, Beetle. Yes! Exactly. Yes! More, please.
Yeah. He's a North Quincy helmet and a UMass helmet.
That's right. Yeah, like I got the LS and the Ohio State. Yes, so, Beetle, I'm smoking a turkey. It's actually on right now because we do Thanksgiving on Wednesday because Emily's
okay,
a nurse.
Mouth. All right. And, so how long is it smoking there? How long you leave it in there?
About 8 hours. We got a 14-pounder. It's supposed to be about a half hour per pound. Mm. And so like that's winds up. I leave it on for an extra hour usually.
Okay.
Just because we have like a
That's for newbies. That you do the half pound an hour. You add the extra hour.
Plus,
I don't use
one of these newfangled electric smokers. I'm actually using charcoal and wood, so the temperature can vary a little bit.
It's not
more.
Very green, but okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we were supposed to host, and that got derailed, obviously. And so now my brother is for the rest of my family, and he was going to smoke the turkey. And my mother said, "You will not be smoking the turkey. Put the damn turkey in the oven."
Wow.
He was shot
told
down.
Him what to do.
Wow. He was shot
a woman,
down.
Woman of principle.
He will obey. So that was the end of that conversation.
What does she have against smoked turkey?
I think it's not against smoked turkey. It's more against the idea or trust issues with my brother screwing it up.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, and then there being no turkey.
So the first year I smoked a turkey, somebody actually suggested me, we didn't wind up doing it, but said like the first time you do it, you should also just buy two. And put one in the oven as like your backup.
As a backup.
Like just so you make sure that you get it right.
All right. Hey, speaking
and then worst comes to worst, you got like a lot of leftovers, right?
Yeah, you're just eating turkey for weeks.
Yeah,
yes.
You know what? I did what we're showing on our simulcast right now, which is frying the turkey 1 year.
Yeah.
And we did the backup. And because honestly, it was the first time I had tried it, and I didn't think it was that great. And I don't think
I like the deep fried
right.
turkey. I like.
Yeah, I got the timing off a little bit.
My buddy deep fries the turkey for Ohio State, Michigan every weekend, no one every
cares.
Year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody should care.
David Andrews cares.
Well, David Andrews cares. Hold on, Bert.
David Andrews.
Stupid turkey thing.
Patriot center.
Hold on. Hey, guys.
What's up, bud?
David, let's talk turkey.
I'm thankful for y'all. I just want you guys to know that.
You serious?
Yeah, I'm thankful for y'all.
That is nice of you. It's very nice of you to say,
David.
That.
Thank you.
Most
you
guys,
guests aren't.
You guys keep the fans engaged. You know,
yeah.
Keep them excited
too.
About us.
Well, we sure do.
So, number one, if you're going to smoke a turkey, you better brine it.
We brined it. Yeah. David,
we
pulled it out like 36 hours in the brine.
Did you spatchcock it?
Well,
no,
what's spatchcock?
I'm sorry.
Are we in the safe harbor? I don't.
So,
yes.
So,
safe harbor declared.
So spatchcocking is my favorite way of cooking turkeys, chicken. You cut the backbone out and you kind of flatten them.
Oh, so you like butterfly almost.
Yeah. And I think they cook evenly. You can get the skin a little crispy. I like that.
I'll have to check that out.
Spatchcock. Try it.
Yeah, look up my guy, Meat Church.
I'm looking it up. YouTube. It was rejected on a work computer.
It is?
No, I'm just kidding. No.
You gotta look up Meat Church on YouTube. He's got
Meat
some amazing
Church?
Stuff.
I'm not doing that.
Meat Church?
I'm not happy.
You gotta go pray at the altar of Meat Church.
Oh, Meat Church, okay.
Don't
you came right up. Yeah, there it is. Smoked turkey.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. Well, a former Patriot, Matt Light, as Zoe can attest to, has been seen like walking around the woods of Wrentham hunting turkeys from time to time. So he just like goes out and finds
them. Yeah, he takes their heads off with a bow and arrow.
Oh, yeah.
Just blow the head off the turkey. It just thing just runs around for a while. And then he chain links it to the back of his truck. And then he smokes them at home.
Yeah, some lady called the police on him one day.
Yeah, horrified.
Was, like, in her backyard hunting turkeys.
He said, go back in your house.
She's like, what the hell?
Go back in your house. Okay. Hey, Dave, the team's playing real well right now. And I'm sure you guys are hearing the external noise about, you know, potential destinations and now being a Super Bowl favorite and contender. Any thoughts on that? As to how well the team's playing?
You know, I think it's the same when, you know, we were 2-4 earlier and there was a lot of other things being said about us. You got to ignore the noise, good or bad. You know, I think the biggest thing for us has just been, you know, coming in, working, putting good things together. But, you know, I think this team, I have a lot of enjoyment playing with this team. And I think, you know, that's a big thing. We enjoy being with each other. We enjoy being around each other. And you know, it's a grind here, so it's, that makes it a little bit more fun and better. And you know, we got guys just buying in and working their tails off, and that's, you know, what's brought us here.
Yeah. David, with some of the young guys that you guys have on the team, is like handling success a different challenge than handling failure? I know you always hear football coaches say it can honestly sometimes be harder to coach a guy when he's having success, because maybe he gets away from the things that were making him successful. With some of the younger guys that you're relying on now, your quarterback, your running back, you know, obviously young defensive lineman and Barmore contributing a lot. Like, how is that challenge different than handling failure?
I mean, I think I can't attest to coaching, but I think there's definitely challenges in each. And I think even as a veteran, there's challenges in it, you know, and you got to just keep that edge to you. That's the biggest thing. I think we do a good job of that here, just with the competition we create every day. You know, we strive to make practice a lot harder than it is in the games at times. And, you know, the coaches do that. We do that as players. The competition we have with each other, there's a lot to that. So there's a lot that goes into it, but I would always rather be on the success side than failure side.
I hear players often say, and maybe you've said something similar in the past, that Belichick is always the same. He's always, you know, when the team is down, when the team is up, he's always even keeled. I find that a little bit hard to believe, in all honesty, because we notice changes in him from the outside. How is Bill different? Do you observe him different at all when the team is rolling a little bit like they are now on a 5-game winning streak like you guys are?
I mean, I really don't notice a difference. I mean, maybe we might get a Monday off.
Okay.
Maybe. But, I mean, it's always going to be nothing. Nothing's ever going to be good enough. There's always going to be corrections. There's always going to be things we can do better. Even after really good wins, you know, we go back there and look at it. We're coached hard and corrected hard on things, and nothing gets pushed to the wayside. I mean, it's all the attention to details and things like that.
You know, Bill made a comment about your upcoming opponent this weekend, the Titans, saying they're a typical Mike team, talking about Mike Vrabel, their head coach, and obviously a former Patriot. What do you think he meant by that, and what sort of come through in the coaching and preparation this week and getting ready for the Titans?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a physical team. You can see that, obviously. Defense, offense, special teams, it's all, you know, physical mind, you know, mind base. And they've got some really good physical players on their D-line between Simmons, Autry. Obviously, Landry's having a really good year. So you see that. You see they're well coached, you know, things like that. There's a lot of similarities in that. And, you know, they're a physical, tough football team.
Is there any carryover from last week? Because, you know, I know you played Dean Pease's defense in Atlanta, and, you know, he's had a huge hand in building the defense in Tennessee. So is there some stuff that you guys can carry over from last week to this week?
I mean, I think there's always some little carryover things, but obviously you've got different players with different skill sets. So we'll just have to see, you know. It's obviously we played Pease there when he was with Vrabel, and then obviously it was Pease this weekend. So there's, you know, probably going to be some type of carryover and things we'll have to look at. But, you know, like I said, obviously different players and different skill sets.
All right, last one for you. Did you guys carry on the tradition with the rookies of the fake turkey free everything sign up?
The what?
Where we you sign up for free turkey, free pie, free all fixings, all that, and you have to go pick it up at a certain place. And the whole team signs up, but it's really the rookies that show up and have somebody sitting there filming it where there's really no place. You guys don't do that anymore?
Or did Zoe just ruin it?
No, I mean, how long was that? 30 years ago when you played?
Yeah. All right, Dave, have a good Thanksgiving, Dave. Hope you eat a lot. Sit back, drink some beer, and put the feet up. And enjoy watching football while not playing. I'm sure the rest was good for you guys.
David, nice I'm thankful for you. Don't listen to him.
Yeah, I'm thankful for you, buddy.
And thanks for pointing us to Meat Church. I'm going to have to check that out.
Spatchcock.
See what?
Thanks for pointing us to Meat Church.
Go to Meat Church. They make awesome rubs. That's what I use on a lot of my stuff.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Have a good Thanksgiving. See you, Dave.
Happy Thanksgiving to David Andrews, Patriot Center, with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. That guy knows meats.
Spatchcock.
So spatchcock, I think the idea was flattening the turkey, right? So it cooks even.
It's called butterflying.
It's the same thing. Is it the same thing as butterflying?
You take the back out and you spread it out. You spread it.
Okay, so it's the same thing as butterflying. It's just another name for butterflying. Okay.
Yeah, I'd use spatchcock instead of butterfly.
So I think they can be used interchangeably, yeah.
It's more fun to say. Yeah.
No, it is. It is.
Spatchcock is definitely more fun to say. And maybe not appropriate for
working
computers.
Hey, kids, look at that little spatchcock flying around over there. That's not the butterfly. That's a spatchcock. Yeah.
Okay, then. 617-779-0985. Bert Breer is with us. We'll talk more football with Bert coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Holly in the truck.
The audience loves him so much.
Dude, I love you.
It's kind of creepy.
Dude, you got me mesmerized, and I hang on every freaking word you say.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
But a lot of people, Phil, put a full stop at Super Bowl because they have a rookie quarterback in Mac Jones. Tell me why that might not matter.
It might not matter because, to me, he's advanced as a rookie. It doesn't mean he is the best quarterback to ever come into the league or the best rookie quarterback to ever come into the league. But where he's advanced is in terms of his game management. He generally takes care of the football. He already is one of the most accurate quarterbacks in football. You can base that off a number of different metrics, advanced or otherwise. And so when you have those qualities and you have a good team and a good support system around you, I think you can, especially this year in this conference, just keep your hands on 10-2 at that quarterback spot. Let your defense win it for you. Your special teams have been under the radar, excellent this season. And your running game has been fantastic, 120 yards in 7 straight games. So I think you can get there with Mac Jones because I don't think he's necessarily going to screw it up for you the way that a lot of rookies might.
Friend of the show, Bill Perry. Along with Trenny Kuznarek on NBC Sports Boston saying Mac Jones will not at all get in the way of the Patriots going to the Super Bowl. That's how we're talking about the Patriots now. We're talking about them in Super Bowl terms, Bert. I hope you're prepared for that. You're sitting in a studio with Adam Jones, who has said...
I'm talking about them in Super Bowl terms.
That they'll be there Zoe and they're going to win it.
I think I see the game that Jones is playing here.
Yes, you do.
No game.
We all do.
No game.
We see the game.
I've just seen the light. I just I've doubted them all year to this point, and now I've been convinced. Now I hop on the bandwagon and I say positive things, and it's still perceived negatively. That's not fair.
The AFC is a train wreck. I mean, the AFC is a train wreck, and like I don't know who's going to emerge from the rubble, but you know I look at like the injuries the Ravens have had, and if you look at the list, it is incredible. Like that they're still where they are, but you think that's eventually going to catch up to them.
Yeah.
The Derrick Henry injury, I think, finally hit the Titans, where you saw on Sunday, if they fall behind now, they have to rely a little bit more on Ryan Tannehill, and you see what that becomes, right?
Right.
The Chiefs are the one to me that, like, they could be coming, because the offense still isn't playing well. The defense has been really good over the last month, and...
They 7-4, too?
They're seven and four.
It's amazing.
They're all alone at first in the AFC West, which, I mean, I think a month ago.
They were
ago,
at the bottom 4 weeks
they
ago.
They were the worst team in the division. And they've got a ton of playoff experience. Pretty much everyone in that roster has played in the Super Bowl. Every important player in that roster has played in the Super Bowl outside of the offensive linemen. And the offensive line's been completely reworked. And I think that if you look at it, they're the one team where you look at them. I think the Patriots, too. Like, those two teams, you can look at them and you can say, okay, both those teams had a lot of new pieces coming into the year. It makes sense that they struggled early. It makes sense that it took a little time for it to come together. And I just think, you know, you look at the Chiefs with the amount of, again, like, skins on the wall a lot of those guys have. And it's very easy to see a scenario where this is just like 2 years ago. People forget 2 years ago, the Chiefs were 6-4 in the middle of the year, and everyone was asking what was wrong with them, and they didn't lose again. So I think the Chiefs are the team to watch now because of the experience they have. But yeah, I mean, like, the Titans, we'll see if they can tread water till Derrick Henry comes back. The Bills really, I mean, there are a lot of people there that have to look in the mirror. The AFC's a mess, and that gives opportunity, I think, to a number of teams, and the Patriots are one of them.
Yeah, and the Colts are not in the playoffs right now, but you can make the case that the three best teams right now are Patriots, Chiefs, Colts.
And the Colts, to me, if Andrew Luck were still there, this would be a Super Bowl team.
Oh, God.
If Andrew Luck were the quarterback, I'm just telling you, if Andrew Luck were the quarterback, why are you?
Why were they never even close to being a Super Bowl team with him?
Look at the teams he got to the – do you know how bad those rosters were?
No, he had some talent to throw to. Please. T.Y. Hilton, and then good tight ends.
His offensive line was a bit of an issue.
That's why he retired, because he got the crap knocked out of him. I mean, like, so – and they had no defense. So
– boo-boo.
I'm just telling you, like Carson Wentz, I'm not sure if I trust him. My point isn't to argue about Andrew Luck.
Right.
My point is, like, Carson Wentz, I still don't know if I trust him, but, like, there are a lot of other pieces there where if Carson Wentz can give them above-average quarterback play, they're dangerous, too.
That's amazing.
I mean, Carson Wentz has done a decent job there. He's protected the football. He hasn't thrown picks.
Right.
But that team had Buffalo on the ropes last year up in Buffalo. That game was closer than what the score indicated.
That running back is every bit as good as Derrick Henry.
It was two possessions that screwed it up, and Rivers on one of them. And if they had one more shot at it, Buffalo could have easily lost that game up in Buffalo.
Yeah, and they can travel. I think you can see that now. Like, some of the rap on, like, the Peyton Manning Colts teams, you remember, like, they – you know, if you get them outside in the winter, like, it's a problem.
Yeah.
What was the weather in Buffalo last weekend? Like, that's a different type of Colts team. You know, like, that's an all-weather Colts team. Really strong on the lines of scrimmage. You know, they got Buckner and Pay and all those guys up front on defense. And the offensive line is as good as it's been, I think. Like, maybe as good as an offensive line as they've had in our lifetime. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that franchise. And so there is definitely some things to hang your hat on with the Colts. The question is, when it comes to nut cutting time in January – like, what is Carson Wentz? Is he what Carson Wentz was his second year in the league with the Eagles, or is it Carson Wentz that got traded away by Philly last year?
All right, 617-779-0985. Let's get to some calls here. I know you've been waiting, and we appreciate that. We'll go to Robbie, who's in New Hampshire. Hi, Robbie.
Hey, guys. Let me get you a microphone real quick. Hey, on the top, well, one, I'm looking forward to this weekend's game. I always love when the Patriots play expats and expats employees. But on the topic of a Super Bowl possibility, if the Patriots were to beat the Buccaneers, do you think that would just totally negate, like, a Belichick-Brady being on even ground to just shoot Belichick 1-1. Right above Brady in that case?
Tie ball game, 1-1 then.
Is it, though?
Disagree.
Yeah, I think I'm about to agree. Go ahead, Beetle. But I think
I'm
I agree
on Team
with what
Bill
saying.
If that happens.
Yeah, same. If he beats Brady head to head, that's
way
the
more impressive.
That's
what Bill did.
Yeah,
going from losing Brady.
I don't know, man. This
a depleted roster to getting back there and doing it a year later. Are you serious?
Yeah, but what Brady?
This
did
is some
year.
Revisionist history.
He beats him head to head,
how did you look at the Bucs 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Loser franchise.
Right.
14 years without the playoffs.
Right.
You were looking at, like, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Ndamukong Suh and Jason Pierre-Paul and saying, wow, that team is – Brady elevated that team. And to do it in his mid
– I don't disagree.
And to do it in his mid-40s, if he gets back to the Super Bowl, like, how you could argue he loses any argument is crazy.
Well,
I think if at that
he
point,
loses the game head-to-head with Bill. That's the tiebreaker. They both have one Super Bowl. He loses head-to-head with Bill.
And it's way harder to rebuild a roster and coach a rookie quarterback to winning a Super Bowl.
It's
than
pretty
it is
freaking
doing
hard what Brady's doing, man. Like to do that. Like, so yeah, you played to do that at 44 years old
to have that drive still.
And Bert, I mean, you're missing the point. You're missing the point here.
And we're talking about degrees here because both would be incredible accomplishments. But I mean, like,
Bert, you're wrong. It's okay.
I think there's a lot of revisionist history going on here.
No, I don't think there is.
It's not revisionist.
I don't know. If Brady played him and threw for 505 like he did against the Eagles, and there's a Malcolm Butler type moment and loses, you can almost say like it's not Brady's fault.
Brady took the Patriot culture.
Does he fumble? What are we going to do for two weeks
if we get this game?
Does he fumble away the Super Bowl?
I need this game like I need air.
Does he fumble away the Super Bowl like he did against the Eagles?
Look,
he didn't fumble the Super Bowl away.
Oh, he didn't.
No, stupid.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
It was geriatric fingers. The ball rolled right out of his hand.
Come on, George. Exactly you know big better than that.
That's what happened.
Brady took what the Patriots have been for the last 20 years and basically imported it down there.
Oh,
that's
Bill's,
really
Bill's set up
impressive.
And Bill's philosophy and structure?
That's really impressive.
Took that with him?
Yeah.
He's a huge part of it,
Bill.
I don't disagree with you, Bert.
What you're missing is if Bill wins this year against any other team than Tampa Bay, still probably advantage Brady. I would agree with that. But if Bill beats Brady head-to-head, he has to
so
win the tiebreaker.
So now you're saying, though, Jones, what you're saying is you're saying if Brady loses in the NFC title game, he's in a better place to win the argument than if he gets to the Super Bowl and loses.
Yeah, correct. I mean, at least in, head-to-head with Bill, yes.
That's like the idiots who are like talking about...
No, it's not.
That's like the idiots
who are because if he doesn't
like,
lose head-to-head with Bill...
That's not the idiots who are knocking Brady in the Montana argument because Brady lost right. Super Bowls.
I'm with Bert. I'm with you on this exact point, but I'm not with you overall.
I'm not because we weren't comparing Montana head to head with like somebody else that he was losing to. No, we're just comparing his overall. You're not saying, oh, you didn't play this person. You didn't lose to them head to head. It would help Montana in that scenario.
If Bill wins this year with Mac Jones, rookie quarterback, it validates everything he's ever done. There is no argument that he could only win with Brady.
I agree with that.
I can win with anybody. Give me the fifth best quarterback in the draft, and I'll win the Super Bowl with him as a rookie.
I agree with that. And that's
a trump card. I agree with that
because I'm like, 100%. I think Brady, at worst, gets a draw here. At worst. Mm. After what he did last year, yeah, and his first year away. I'm not saying Bill can't pull even, but I think at worst Brady gets a draw because he took something that was built over 20 years here
Brady did was amazing. He did an amazing job last year. He is the reason why that team turned it around and got the best out of all the talent they have on that roster. I'm not going to deny him that.
Right.
I'm just going to tell you that what Bill would have done would be even more impressive. They're both very impressive feats.
If he beats the elevated Bucks head-to-head, yes.
They're both remarkable individuals who are probably the best at their jobs ever anyone who's ever done it.
What a 2 weeks that would be, though. Hey,
would be amazing.
We got Patriots tickets to give away.
I still think they're a year away. So,
let's do this. Why don't we get the headlines, and then we'll give away the Patriots tickets right on the other side, okay? Because we're a little behind here. So we'll do that, and we'll be right back, and we'll give away the tickets.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hardy, a lot of good responses for your pickle.
Excuse me.
I think that would be really weird.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Time to tighten up. Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to be at Gillette Stadium this Sunday as the Patriots take on Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans. Tune in.
Tough ticket.
Sports Hub. What?
Tough ticket.
Tough ticket, as Zoe told us all week.
Sneaky tough.
Tune into the Sports Hub Sunday pregame with yours truly, along with Chris Gasper, and postgame with Jim and Joe Murray after the game, 10 a.m. start time to that pregame coverage. If you're caller 10 right now on the contest line, you'll get your tickets courtesy of the Sports Hub. We will give away another pair of tickets coming up at 1:30 today. So Try this time. If you don't, you're going to have another opportunity. All right. Very good.
All right.
What was that, Bert?
Oh, my. Oh, there we go. Thanks, T-Bone.
There you go, Tom.
It said on. It should be a tough ticket because it's Thanksgiving weekend. You would think right. A lot of people who are out of town now, who live out of town now, are back home. It's
big
a 1 o'clock game.
Like, they get flexed.
Yeah. So, like, I'll tell you, like, this is probably the biggest game they've had there at Gillette. I mean, well, outside of the Brady game, but that was for different reasons.
Cowboys.
Didn't the Cowboys game was bigger than this one?
Yeah.
Cowboys a big one, but it's like, but this is a big one because
implications.
Yeah, for implications reasons. Right. Like then, I get you. And you just, yeah, you got me with two of them. So yeah. I guess I got to take my point back then.
Yeah. I just go by like the level of excitement for the game. Like there's a lot for Tampa and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Justifiably so. Good teams. You know, yeah. People want to see them.
Well, but and the Cowboys was also a lot about like Cowboys fans traveling to the game,
sure,
too, right? I mean, so this one's
this
a lot
is about like your.
This is a lot more about the Patriots than it was about who you're
this
playing.
It's going to be a home crowd.
Yeah, this is about you and a big game for your team versus who's on the other side.
Thanks for cleaning up my point.
Yeah, but you're welcome.
I'd say the biggest one probably since Brady left, as far as just the implications of it and everything else.
So one of the points to think about following up on our conversation about who would be winning the Brady versus Belichick if Bill's about to win the Super Bowl with the Patriots, which Jones believes they will or thinks they should.
Yes.
Right, Jones, to clarify?
No games here, right?
No. They should. It's 2001. Mac Jones is a young Tom Brady, so that team won, so this team should win too. So don't F it up, Patriots. That's all I would say. Don't F it up.
Yeah. No games here. No games.
Yeah. Right.
No. That's just straight analysis. Yes.
Just straight analysis. Uh-huh. Part of what Bill would have going for him at that point, and I think maybe already does have, if you're listening to Troy Aikman telling you that he's got a starter for the next 15 to 18 years, there would be a future for the Patriots. There would be sustainability to the Patriots that would now be established. Whereas with Brady, as soon as he leaves Tampa, that thing is cooked. They're done.
Right.
Right? It's over there.
Yeah. I mean, well, to their credit, they've sort of gone all in on that too, where if you look at the structure of the contracts they've done with a lot of their veteran players, a lot of money is pushed into, I believe it's 2024. So if you look at the way that their cap is going to work over the next couple of years, it's sustainable this year. It's sustainable next year. It's 2023 when a lot of that stuff comes due, which would be the year Brady turns 46.
Oh, my God.
And then just then, maybe he would decide he's done playing football.
Right.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Or maybe the cap explodes because the new television money goes into it, the gambling money goes into it, and then it won't even matter that there's all that dead money sitting there.
Yeah, that could be it, true.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, to sort of spin this off into something else, Patriots assistants are reportedly drawing some interest, no surprise there, as we approach the final stretch of the season and potentially the offseason. We know there's a number of bad teams that might be looking to make some coaching changes.
Yep.
Josh McDaniels is a name that continues to come up. And to go back to what Aikman was saying in his broadcast on the Thursday night football game with the Patriots and Falcons, you know, McDaniels is not the heir apparent. He's not the next Patriots head coach necessarily, and he's going to draw interest, which I think he is. So what if he leaves? What if Josh McDaniels leaves? What happens to the growth that we've seen in Mac Jones and the growth in the offense this year? Where does that go next season, Bert?
Well, I think they do have a couple qualified candidates on staff. I think Nick Caley would probably be the first one up, the tight ends coach. You know, obviously, like that role, we've seen a lot of like really good young coordinators come out of that role across the league. Sean McVay was a tight ends coach before he became Washington's OC. Arthur Smith was a tight ends coach before he became the Titans OC. And so we've seen that path, you know, over the last, I'd say, 10 years in the NFL, because those guys have experience on both the running game and the passing game. So Caley be a name to watch. Mick Lombardi's another one that I know Bill thinks a lot of, the receivers coach. But if we're looking outside the building, I mean, the obvious one's Bill O'Brien. And the thing that would make the one thing I think people may not know about that is O'Brien already has an existing relationship with Mac Jones, which I think would really help. Last year when O'Brien got to Alabama in January, Mac actually helped teach him the offense. And I don't know how much that's been out there, but like when they were sort of like integrating Bill O'Brien into what Steve Sarkisian had built there, like Mac Jones was a part of helping to teach Bill O'Brien Alabama's offense. So if Mac Jones were to come here, or if Bill O'Brien were to come here, there's already, I'm not saying they're best friends, but there's already an existing rapport there where Bill's already worked with Mac Jones, and Bill already, I think, has, you know, again, like at least a surface relationship with the quarterback.
Well, those are all good things. I mean, is everyone all right back there, yes. By the way? Sounds like someone's dying.
All right.
Maybe we need to put Zoe in a windowless room like you.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Would Bill O'Brien be willing to come back, Bert? Is that something you'd be interested in?
I think it depends. Like, I think some of the college programs, some of the big college programs could have an interest in him. So I think it sort of depends on that.
Well, and you've also got to have a little bit of swallowing your pride there to go back to being a coordinator after having been, you know,
unless your priority is to get back
level to big time level and then an NFL head coach.
Unless your goal is to get back to being an NFL head coach again.
Got it.
You know, which is where Brian Daboll was. Like, Brian Daboll went to Alabama for a year. They won the national title that year in 17. And then, boom, he went back to the NFL with Buffalo.
Or, Bert, maybe the pitch is come back here, and in a few years, you're the next head coach.
Which I think is possible,
So that's what I was just going to ask. Like, what's even the appetite for McDaniels to leave? Like, is McDaniels sold he's going to be the next guy here? If he leaves, then what does that tell us about Bill and how long Bill's going to be? Like, so that I think, is a big factor with Bill O'Brien and McDaniels.
I think Josh is eyes wide open to all opportunities. And I don't think he is where he was 5 years ago when he was very much like, I'm going to pick my spot. I don't want to go to the wrong place. Like, I think now he realizes more than ever that he may have to take an imperfect situation because his name isn't like, he's not the young hotshot anymore. He's almost 50 now, you know? And so, like, I think he's seen it in a little bit of a different light. And I think he understands, based on the way things went the last couple of years, where his name cooled off a little bit, that if his name gets hot again, that might not last forever, right?
Right.
And so Mac Jones keeps playing the way he has. What does Josh have to sell? Not just Mac Jones. He also developed Matt Cassel, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett. Like, he's got a pretty good track record on his own.
If you want a mediocre slash backup quarterback, he's your guy. Like, he's developed a bunch of those.
But none of those guys were first round picks, and guys are like, Matt Cassel played 14 years in the league, 7th round pick.
No,
didn't start in college.
I said this yesterday to Phil. I said this yesterday to Phil. Like, my whole issue with everybody on the Patriots coaching staff, all the assistants, is it's hard to know
where Bill ends and the guy starts.
So, like, if I'm on the outside looking in, I'm like, I mean, I'm sure Josh did something, but, like, how much of it was Belichick? And so many people have just swung and missed on Belichick assistants. I wouldn't do it again.
Jones, the other thing you could benefit from is it's a really mediocre crop of candidates this year. I mean, there just isn't, like, last year.
There's no names.
Last year you had Arthur Smith and Robert Saleh, who had sort of been in the mix before, and everyone interviewed them, right? Like, everyone wanted to interview them. Who's that guy this year? Like, I think Bieniemy's, like, his name has lost some steam. Daboll sort of had his shot. They're not playing as well anymore. Who's the obvious name? Like, Josh may wind up being a little higher on the list this year than he's been in a while.
I agree.
And if he gets interviews in multiple places, like, yeah, for him, like, he's waited over a decade. Like, he can't just sit here and be like, well, you know, like, I'll just see when Bill retires. And I don't know that he's got this huge appetite to want to follow Bill anyway. Now, I think having Mac, like, makes this more attractive. Absolutely. The fact that you got a young quarterback, a 23-year-old quarterback in place, absolutely makes it more attractive. But I think there's also the other piece to this, which is, do you really want to be the guy who follows him? Bill wasn't the guy who followed the guy here.
If you have a good situation,
he was the guy who followed the guy.
If you have a good situation, why not?
Why would you? Are you, like, Beetle, why would you want to wait potentially 4 or 5 years?
Well, let me follow that up. Anything
could happen.
All right, let's go with what Jones says. This is the 2001 Patriots, and Mac Jones is young Brady, and they win the Super Bowl this year. And then 2 or 3 years from now, you don't think that that's an attractive situation for a coach that's incoming?
It might be, but if you don't know for sure that you're getting the job, like, do you have assurances you're getting the job? Could things change on you?
No, but we're talking about sort of the situation, like, why you would want to follow the guy. Oh, because you're following the guy in a good situation with a good roster and a good quarterback. Who doesn't want that walking in? A lot of head coaching jobs are dumpster fires when you walk through the door. This could be set up to be
bottom out.
Okay, so
this could be set up to be one of the situations where a coach is retiring because he's done doing it, and there's a quarterback in his prime years here on the roster.
So ideally,
how many times do coaches take over that situation?
Ideally, then you're George Seifert in San Francisco, right? Like, ideally, I would say, like, that would be the model then, would be George Seifert in San Francisco. I just think, like, there's, like, a lot of – the way the coaches will look at this is, like, if I'm only going to get one shot at this, I want to have some runway. I want to be able to build it my way. And, like, would Josh look at this and say, God, if I win 11 games in year one, if I win 10 games in year one, is that seen as a failure? And, again, like, we don't know what this is going to look like in 3 or 4 years. So you're still projecting. I mean, there have been a lot of teams, guys, that where you look at them – and you say, they look like they're in great shape, and then 3 years later, they're firing their coach. So, like, I think the idea that just because you've got a young quarterback that is playing well right now in the moment means that you're going to be in this awesome spot 4 or 5 years from now, that's a big projection, especially if you've got, like, a $7 million, $8 million per year offer coming down the pike to you right now. And so, like, I think Josh is very much going to consider what's out there for him. He would have taken the Eagles job if it had been offered to him last January. And he would have taken the Browns job if it had been offered to him the January before that. I think he's just sort of got himself mentally to a place where he's ready to go.
All right, let's get some of your calls coming up with Burt Breer and also some more on Thanksgiving football that will be played tomorrow across the NFL. That's on the way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you
know it if you smelled it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Lions tomorrow. Terrible game out of the gate. Thanksgiving. Weigh in on this. Do the Lions deserve to have a Thanksgiving Day game every year?
You're not fired up for Tim Boyle versus Andy Dalton?
Nope. Nobody is.
I said this in our Slack channel. Like, I'm not even going to watch that. I'm legitimately not going to watch that game until the National Dog Show is over. I'm watching that. The Jones family household is prioritizing the dog show tomorrow over Lions and Bears. That's
I refuse
what I'm
to watch Lions football.
I'll do it once the dog show's over. You know, I think it's over at like 2 o'clock. I'll do it then.
I think if... Like, Justin Fields would have given us a reason to watch that
Correct.
Game.
I agree.
Now Maybe.
He's hurt. Now no, he's hurt. I agree. I would have tuned in for Fields. I'm with that.
I'd peek in on that. Now I won't.
Tim Boyle and or Goff, like, honestly, what's the difference? Versus Andy Dalton. Sorry, dog show time.
Andy Dalton, Dan Campbell, two of the top five people you despise in the league. Just like, don't even want to deal with it.
I mean, this is like, I think the most interesting storyline tomorrow in that early game is the coaching thing where Dan Campbell potentially could get his first win. And if he gets his first win, does that mean Matt Nagy gets fired the day after in Chicago?
Ooh, that would be good.
Is that the early game?
Because if you guys remember...
Yeah, and if you lose to the Lions, you should lose your job,
Well, no,
right?
But these Thursday games can be like these sorts of situations. London, bye week, Thursday game. We've seen where these have led to firings over the last few years because it gives you like that little extra... like. Time to implement. Recalibrate and say, okay, like, here's our interim coach, here's where we're going with our search and all the rest of it. And so if there was a time for the Bears to do it, if they're going to do it in season, like, logically you look at it and say, maybe this is that time.
I gotcha.
And that could be an attractive job for somebody.
Like maybe somebody here?
McDaniels. Like somebody here, yeah.
McDaniels. Hmm.
If Josh likes the idea of, you know, if Josh liked Justin Fields before the draft last year, then that all of a sudden becomes the sort of job that he'd probably look at.
So as far as the Lions go, do they deserve the game every year?
Yes. I just think it's a tradition. I'm maybe a little biased here because my dad's family's from there, but it means so much to that place. I just hate to see it taken away from that place. And I think it's one of those things where it sucks that they're a bad team, but I just – I don't think you'd look at those Thanksgiving games the same way if it wasn't the Lions and Cowboys. And right. I think some things should remain sacred, and like that's one of them.
Maybe this is a terrible analogy because this is a more successful team, but like, do the Bruins always deserve the Friday matinee after Thanksgiving, right? Like,
but that doesn't, but the Bruins playing the matinee like the day after Thanksgiving doesn't preclude anybody else from doing anything.
But it kind of does, right? Like, does anybody else schedule anything in that window?
Did anybody say they can't?
I think Bruins fans would care is my point. So like I think
Friday is such a checkout day after Thanksgiving anyway. Like care what's in what window.
But I think Bruins fans circle that one and go to that game a lot of times.
Oh yeah, well that's a core fan base.
But I'm just saying, just to try to have it hit home for people here, like what it would mean to have, like what that game means. I mean that'd be like the Black Friday matinee thing on steroids. Like it's your Thanksgiving game every
year. And it's also like if you know the dynamics of that city, it's like people aren't going downtown for a lot of things, but on that Thanksgiving day, there's the parade in the morning. There's just like a lot going on in that downtown area.
Keep it there.
And I just hate to see it like something like that getting taken away just because the NFL is looking for the next dollar.
Yeah. I just would, I might rethink Thanksgiving altogether as far as how many games are played. They added the third game.
I don't like the night game.
I think they added the third game so they wouldn't have to take it away from Dallas.
Correct.
I agree with that. That's why I think they did it.
There's some flexibility in an attractive game, so it's not just Dallas and Detroit every right. year.
My proposal would be that you rotate Dallas and Detroit every other year, and you play that game first, which is a 3 o'clock start, and then you play a second one at 6 o'clock. You play two games.
That's 3 and 6. Horrible.
What time do you guys eat tomorrow? Like, do you eat according to the game times? Like, we've done that before. Like, if there was, like, a big game, like, we don't want to miss the 3 o'clock.
Well, I'm out on this one because we're eating.
Well, I know you're eating differently.
That's true.
Like,
right.
What time are you eating tomorrow, Jones?
So the last, like,
I don't want anybody in my house.
Last
prior to
four
two.
Or five years, we've done it at our house, and we haven't been very time dependent.
About
tomorrow,
two?
Tomorrow we got noon. Tomorrow noon.
That's early.
Now, maybe that's when we're showing. Early. Maybe that's when very we're showing early. Up. I thought that's when we're eating.
I'll bring the kids to the high school football game.
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
Know. Yeah,
then you got to get home, shower. No, not before two.
Yeah, we're typically like a 2:30 in terms of eating.
2:30 sounds nice.
See, I feel like when we went so. When I would do it with my dad's family in Detroit, it was normally around 4 o'clock, and that would be like I can remember like missing the first half of the Dallas game growing up, because that was when we were eating. So that'd be about 4 o'clock, which I think is perfect, right? Because you watch the end of the first game.
No TV on at the Brewer household.
There's always TV on.
No, but I mean, but you couldn't watch the beginning of the Dallas game.
You couldn't put your eyes on the screen from where you were seated.
You could, but I can remember like not having full attention on the game.
I see.
Like at 4 o'clock.
I see.
Or whatever it is. 4:30? Is it 4:25? Whatever it is.
Efforting.
Yeah, look that one up, Jones.
Yeah, it's 4:30.
I also don't think, Beetle, to your idea,
yeah.
I don't think the league would want to give up having the Cowboys on Thanksgiving because of ratings.
Fine. Then pull Detroit and don't give them the game anymore.
And that's not cool, like I said.
Then Detroit is out. I mean, Bert. Detroit has sucked for 100 years.
No, I know.
But it's not like, they're bad. No, they have their entire existence has been bad football.
No, you're right. You're right. I just hate to see that taken away. I just hate to see a tradition like that taken away from a city because it's not the people in that city's fault. You know what I mean? Like, it just, I think that sort of thing sucks.
All right, headlines here. 90 seconds. We're right back. And why don't we get to your phones? Thanks for hanging on. Another pair of Patriots tickets coming up at 1:30.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.